Today I have got an absolute delight. I'm interviewing Pat Craven. Pat Craven wrote a book which really blew me away called Living with the Dominator, a book about the Freedom Program. And Pat is a woman who is working here in the UK helping abused women and abusive men. And I'd like to introduce Pat Craven and let her speak about the Freedom Program and her book. So, Pat, it's a real pleasure to have you with me today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Annie.
Yeah, and this, I have to say that the Freedom Program came as a great surprise to me. It appeared out of the blue to me a couple of weeks ago. I was actually sitting in Costa on a Sunday, looking at the Daily Mail, which is hardly the most elevated, the Sunday Mail, looking at that paper, which is hardly high class, and it just mentioned your book and the Freedom Program, and I thought, well, I might as well find out more. And what I did just amazed me. And I still don't know that much about the program, though I love the book, The Dominator, Living with the Dominator. So if you could tell us all a little bit about that, that would be great.
Well, I originally was a probation officer working with Merseyside Probation Service, and I was a parole officer, so I supervised a lot of very violent men. I was also, for 10 years, I was the chair of the local domestic violence, local refuge management committee. So I thought I had some understanding of domestic abuse. Actually, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work with what they call the perpetrator program of the Merseyside Probation Service. And for 2 years, I sat in the middle of groups of men who'd abused, raped and killed women because they were on parole. And I listened to what they had to say. I really listened. Most people don't. What I heard told me three things. One, to my horror, I realized I'd colluded with every abusive man I'd ever come across. And in so doing, I'd put countless women in danger as a probation officer. Secondly, I realized this, that the things I was hearing from these men, most people in whatever profession they were in didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, the most important people who didn't know what I was hearing were the women these characters were involved with. And at that point, I became possessed with the burning desire to get the information out there to as many women as possible, and I'm still possessed by that desire today. That was 10 years ago.
Wow. And what were the things that you didn't know about domestic violence at the time?
I didn't know it was nearly always men who did it to women, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why they did it, and most people don't know why they did it. Why the reason they do it is to keep women under control, yeah, but they also are motivated by their beliefs. And one of the main beliefs they have is hatred of women. And when I run a bunch of men in a room, I know that some of those men hate women so badly that they see us as like slugs. Oh, this is what they say. They say women are snakes with tits. I've heard them say that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate something that much, it's probably very difficult to have a relationship with it. And the 6 out of 10 men that change on my program can change their beliefs about women. The 4 out of 10 who don't can't. They hate us far too much. It's like saying you can have a relationship with a slug. That's how they feel about us. It's that deep hatred. Mm. That's why they kill us.
I'm struggling to take that a little bit on board. I always say about my ex-husband that he hated most people, and me in particular, which I think is quite true. But to actually take that step and say he actually hated all women, which he doubtless did, and had a very difficult relationship with his mother, it's still an enormity to take on board. That they actually
when you can take it on board, Annie, it's actually rather nice, because then you start to realize it's not personal. He would have been the same with any woman he was with. It wasn't you who made him like that. And once you start taking that on, it's really liberating.
Mm. Yes. I think it's just this thing that we don't want to really think, my God, this man really hates all women, that he really is that unpleasant.
And it's very hard. We give them all sorts of excuses. We have a phrase, we say there's the sciences of bollocksology, which is all these things. You know, he's got his low self-esteem, and he's got ADHD, and he's got OCDC, and we call it bollocksology because he hasn't got any of those things. He just hates women.
I was just going to ask you, another thing that comes up a lot is narcissism. He's a narcissist. Is that, do you also see that as
bollocksology?
Yes. Thank you.
Isn't it a wonderful word?
It is, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's all bollocksology. Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, it makes them worse because if someone, say he's genuinely trying to change and he goes off to see a bollocksologist who encourages him to talk about his behavior. I know, he's got you. This bollocksologist encourages him to talk about his behavior, and the minute he does that, he's getting worse because they're colluding with him. So when men come to me, they're not allowed to talk about themselves at all. And here's a handy hint for anybody who is coming across abusive men. Don't have conversations with them about their behavior. Talk to them about the weather, what they like for dinner, what they're doing for the holidays, but never allow them to talk about their behavior. Because they just talk rubbish, and they'll get worse if you listen to them.
Yeah. So how does that work if you're in a relationship with an abuser? How do you get to control the conversation or direct the conversation?
He'll talk rubbish, so really I'd suggest you keep off the subject of anything he does and just talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult when you're in bed with them, but it really doesn't help just to talk about them because they just believe such rubbish, and they'll talk rubbish to you, and they'll just do your head in. Mm.
Yes, I...
Because what they really believe is... they believe we make them abuse us.
Oh, I've seen and heard that. I heard that from my ex-husband, who was a great bollocksologist. He went to all the psychotherapists he could find and got worse, just as you said.
Yes, of course they do.
So,
that's them.
Yes, paid a lot of money to get worse, I must say.
They come to me for free.
Oh, but that's not glamorous, is it? Like having your own therapist and, you know, your own bollocksologist who really understands.
Yeah, you love it, don't you?
I really do, yes. So
I hope all the women out there adopt that word.
Oh, they will by the time we've finished using it.
Yeah.
But how do you know if a man is sincere about changing? Because most of us get sucked in at some point.
Whether he's sincere about changing or not, if he turns up for my weekends, he might change in spite of himself. Most of the men who come on my weekends have no intention of taking this seriously. They think it's a load of rubbish or bollocksology, but we get them in spite of themselves because we get them to have a look at the beliefs without making them aware of what they're doing. It's fabulous. It's wonderful to do. I work with a theatre company. I don't know if you know that, Annie. And we always put a play on for the men about the effects of domestic abuse on children when we run our weekends.
Nice.
It floors them.
Yes. My experience has been that men don't appear to worry about the effects of a domestic violence on children at all.
They always believe that they're being good fathers.
Yes.
They believe that it can be a good father even if they're violent. And the problem with that one is, of course, all the courts support that belief as well.
Yes.
There's a line in the play that Claire, the actress, says, and one of the young actors says, "Everybody knows all kids need a father." And she says, "All kids need a father in our homes and in our schools, parroting the words of fools. Better they'd have no father at all than a father who abused them like that one." Where about in the UK are you? Would you like to come to our conference in Worthing on the 28th of September? It's only £10, and Worthing Women's Aid is putting it on. So I'll send you an invitation now.
Absolutely. Thank you. I would love that. So getting back to what you were saying... So they're sitting in front of this play and it suddenly affects them. I'm amazed that they actually see themselves, that there's this degree of recognition or honesty that kicks in.
Oh,
How does that work?
It's marvellous. It's marvellous, honestly. It's marvellous. Because they're not allowed to talk about themselves. They're only allowed to talk about the dominator. So they learn through the dominator. and it cuts out all hours of rubbish and lies and nonsense. Because most of these programs need to be 26 weeks long because the men talk such rubbish on them. We don't allow that. And they talk about the Dominator for 2 days, and they see what the Dominator's done to the children. And there's no escape from it. It's wonderful. They cry a lot.
Good. And can you talk a bit about the Dominator, please? This model that is just so fascinating.
Oh, I love the Dominator. The Dominator is an abusive man, and he uses eight different kinds of controlling behaviour to keep his partner, his female partner, in control. He uses intimidation, and in that case, I say he turns into the bully, and the bully swears and shouts and smashes things, and he's red in the face, and he froths at the mouth, and he looks absolutely furious, but he isn't. He's an act, and it's incredibly effective.
So, I know that
we're frightened, we don't argue, we cower, and we do as we're told. It's just that simple. Then the next one is the jailer. He uses isolation. So, if, for example, if you came around to see me, he'd make you so unwelcome you wouldn't want to come back. Or he tells me that he's having an affair with you, or he makes a pass at you, or he tells me you've made a pass at him. He checks the mileage on the car, he sniffs my knickers when I've been out, he asks for receipts all the time. He's a love. Bless him. And then we've got the head worker. He uses emotional abuse. He tries to drive me mad. He keeps moving things and hiding things and then denying it, or deny he said things that he has said. And he also tells me I'm too fat, too thin, too tall, my tits are too big, too small. You know, he's very, very subtle, isn't he? When he first meets me, oh, by the way, let's backtrack to the jailer, shall we? When the jailer first meets me, he might say, "You don't need to work anymore, I'll support you." This is terribly, terribly attractive to most of us, because we've been brought up believing that it's our great and glorious destiny to be supported by some rich man. Back to the head worker. He is very typical. I mean, I was out for a run the other day, and this head worker said to me, he was cutting his hedge as I ran past, he said, "You'll never lose weight like that." They do it to all of us, you know. It's natural to them.
Funny, isn't it?
I said, I don't need to lose weight. I'm fine just the way I am. Because we're not very good at saying that. The next one is the persuader. He's on the step. He's weeping and wailing when I've got rid of him. I've gone to a refuge. He's crying. He's begging. He's pleading. He's promising the earth, or he's threatening to burn the house down or something. He uses a mixture of coercion and threats to get me to have him back or drop charges. Then we've got the liar. Now, the liar lies about his abuse. He uses minimization, denial, and blame. He uses the only word. So if you say only, it alters the rest of the sentence. Oh, I only gave her a little push. I only strangled her a couple of times a year. Yeah, well, that's all right then. Or he denies anything happened. I never touched you. I'm not abusive. You're a drama queen. Or he blames everything under the sun. But the main thing he blames, and this is where the bollocksology comes in, by the way. He's got all these conditions and syndromes, but the main thing he blames is me. He believes sincerely that I make him hit me. And that's why the men aren't allowed to talk about themselves, because they come into this program wanting me to help them deal with this horrible woman who forces them to be violent. And there's this mad belief in our society that women can make men hit them. Anyone can. You can't make somebody hit you. The only thing that will make you hit somebody else is your belief that it's acceptable to do it.
Yeah.
Then we've got the bad father who uses the children. And if, for example, I say to the children, "Time for bed, children," he'll say, "Oh, well, make them stay up." If I say, "Eat dinner," he says, "They don't have to eat that shit, I'll take them to McDonald's." If I, then he undermines me to the extent that they treat me with contempt, and then he blames me for being a bad mother. He chases me through the courts, through access, through armies of solicitors, and families need fathers and all the rest of it, through courts when he's been violent. He doesn't want access to the children at all. He just wants to carry on controlling me. Or he kills them. He jumps out of windows with them in hotel rooms in Greece, or slaughters the entire family, including the pony, like the one in Shropshire did. 130 children died last year as a result of revenge attacks by fathers who couldn't get back in the relationship. And that's what that's why we wrote the play we did. The next one's King of the Castle. He treats me like a servant and a slave. He drops his dirty washing on the floor. He sits in front of the television with the remote control in his right hand and rubbish and debris rising around him. And if I say, are you going to clean that up? He says, oh, chill, babe, I'll do it later. But he doesn't, because he knows that I'll crack before he does. If he does have to cook anything, he'll burn it. And the kitchen is a bomb. And then, of course, it's easier for me to do it. King of the Castle is subtle. And he's the easiest of all, because we all believe that it's actually normal for men to behave like that. And then boys will be boys and all the rubbish that we give them.
Yep.
All the excuses. Finally, the sexual controller is the worst. Each of these, by the way, is a session of the Freedom Program. The sexual controller is the one that we don't talk about. So if I go to a refuge and I say to the counsellor, hey, I've been beaten up and all the rest of it, that's fine, but I can't tell her that I've been made to have sex with a dog or taken up to car parks and multiple raped or whatever, because I don't want to look in her face when I tell her that. However, in the Freedom Program, it's all read out and written down. And I start to think, when I'm in that program, if so many women have experienced this, then maybe I'm not the only one, and then maybe, just maybe, it's not my fault. That is the dominator. I have a theory about abusive men. I believe they're all kidnapped at the age of 6 months old and taken off to a school in the mountains where they're taught to do and say exactly the same thing.
I thought it was Planet Zog, but I came to the same conclusion.
It is Planet Zog, yes. That's another. That's where they originally came from. They parachuted into the mountains and then set up the school there.
Yes. And I always had this fantasy as well about, I think it was a sort of daisy chain thing that we played as kids. And if we all stood in a circle and our abusive partners were moved one round, we wouldn't notice a whole lot of difference. I mean, yes, they'd look different physically first off, but before long it would feel so familiar.
That's lovely. I like that. And, of course, the wonderful thing about knowing abusive men and knowing them inside out and knowing exactly how they operate, is you always know what they're going to say next.
When
they
get out of denial.
And then when I'm running men's weekends, I always know what they're going to say before they say it. So I don't get there are no surprises.
Does that unsettle them when you know what they're going to say?
Oh, yeah. Bless them, it does. Yeah. The funny thing is, though, they love it. They love my programs. They're so grateful. Oh, yeah. They stay in touch with me for years afterwards.
Gosh. So what do they, why are they so grateful, Pat?
They've changed their lives. They've saved their relationships. Their wives have allowed them to stay in the relationship. And they I'll send you the other article that Kelly wrote about. She interviewed a couple of the guys. And one of them said, before I did the Freedom Program, I wasn't a father, I was a monster.
Yeah. Wow, yes.
So they do recognize them.
My own experience and that of my abusive husband, now my wasband, is...
Wasband.
Nice little word, isn't
it? It's lovely.
Not an original, but it's still great. Was that he went into programs and they didn't work. And a lot of the stuff doesn't.
Makes them worse.
So I'm really quite careful in saying to women, look, you know, he says he'll change, but you better have some pretty clear indications that he will change. Not,
well,
darling, you know, you've got
stops,
to support me through this.
Stops being abusive. It's easy. He stops being abusive. That's all.
Well, I've found that can be quite subtle, because I gave my husband a trial separation at one point, and he played Mr. Nice Guy.
Oh, now, he was a persuader.
Yes, and that was pretty good. He almost did the right things in the short term, but it was a very short attention span he had. So about 6 weeks down the line, he'd throw a temper tantrum, and then he'd go back to being Mr. Nice Guy. And I told myself, well, you know, he's getting better, and he wasn't. So
he wasn't.
How do you know?
Because if he'd changed, he wouldn't be. He didn't throw a tantrum. He'd behave like the bully. So if he'd changed, he wouldn't bully. He wouldn't do it. He'd behave like Mr. Wright does, a non-abusive man.
Yes. And I'd love you to say something about Mr.
Oh,
Rice.
I think we need to, yes. See, first of all, it's not a lot to ask. There's a lot of non-abusive men in the world, and we women, we like men, most of us, not all of us, and many of us believe that we're failures without men, because this is about our beliefs as well as theirs. And if I believe that, and then you tell me that all men are bastards, I might as well just stay with the one I'm with, because I can't do without a man. And I might end up dead. And it's not true. All men are not bastards, but we do need to know what non-abusive behaviour is. We need to learn what abusive behaviour is, and we need to learn what non-abusive behaviour is.
Yep.
And non-abusive men and women behave in a certain way. So, for example, instead of the bully, he behaves like the friend, and the friend is welcoming and warm, and I can say something, and even if he doesn't agree with it, he accepts my right to differ from him. He wouldn't dream of raising his voice. He just shout. When he comes in the house, he goes, "You, where are you, love? I'm here." And he's got warm, smiling eyes. Because when he looks at me, he thinks warm, smiling thoughts, and his eyes show. The opposite to the jailer is a liberator. So if you came round to my house, he would welcome you in. And say, "Oh, come in, Annie. She's been dying to see you. I tell you what, I'll put the kettle on and I'll leave you to have a chat. Because I know, you know, you've got to catch up." And when you and I are going out for a night out, he'd say, "Oh, you look gorgeous in that dress. Have a lovely time. I won't make up for you." The confidence booster tells me all the time that I am absolutely fine just the way I am. He says that to me and he means it. And why shouldn't he? There's nothing wrong with me. I am absolutely fine the way I am. Mary Poppins is marvellous, really. She's my hero. She says that in Mary Poppins. She says, "Let me make myself perfectly clear. I never explain anything."
Great.
And she's practically perfect in every way, isn't she? She says, Mary. But I mean, when we do our training events, we all chant, say after me, "I am absolutely fine just the way I am." The next one is the negotiator. If I decide that I want to end the relationship with the opposite to the persuader, he is obviously going to be distressed. He will be sorry, but he has to accept the fact that I want to end the relationship. Why I would want to end that relationship, I can't imagine, but it's reasonable. People are allowed to leave each other.
Yes.
And the truth teller tells the truth, not only about his own behaviour, he accepts responsibility, but he doesn't cheat. He's not a benefit cheat. He doesn't cheat other people. He's an honest and accountable man. The good father actually knows the children, Annie. He even knows their names, their birthdays, how they're doing at school, what their friends are called. He would never dream of shouting at the children. He speaks to them reasonably. And he will get up in the night and change nappies when it's his turn. It's not a lot, is it, to ask? Partner, does he share the housework? He doesn't say, "I've brought the washing in for you." He just brings the washing in. If he cooks meals, they're nice. You can eat them. The kitchen's clean. He'll ring me and he says things like, "Oh, I'm going to go and pass Sainsbury's. Shall I get something for tea?" I know how much he earns. We share the big decisions. And finally, the lover is the opposite to the sexual controller.
Yeah.
I can give that man a cuddle without it leading to sex, and he can do the same to me. And when he's having sex with me, he's making love with me. He's looking at me. He's communicating with me. He respects women, and he's faithful. There you are. There's your friend.
Yeah, I have to say that I was reading that out on a teleclass recently to a group of women, because I'd been talking about the abusive man, and they said, "What's the friend like?" And the simplest way was just to read that out to them.
There's
a long silence, and then this little voice said, "Do men like that really exist?"
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, because
the other thing we say is, "He sounds boring."
I think that's just a belief, really, because of lack of experience.
And I know.
There's not anything much more boring than an abusive man, really, is there?
Well, as you say, they're so predictable.
Yeah.
But we women like a bit of a challenge. You see, the dominator is motivated by what he believes, and he gets his beliefs from the society he lives in. He's not a deviant. Everything he believes, he's told by society and history and all the rest of it, and so are we women. Mm. And abusive men really understand women. They understand this so much better than we understand ourselves. A taxi driver said to me recently, well, girls like bad boys, don't they? They know.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing. I think that's another thing that women find very, very difficult, that there is a deliberate, conscious intent to inflict these behaviours and this kind of humiliation on women.
Well, the violence usually starts when we're pregnant. It's three times more likely to be hit when we're pregnant. Now, this is very interesting. When I run this freedom program with men, I ask them, why do you think that is? And I get some very interesting answers. One is that, well, she's fat and ugly, so that's why they kick me in the stomach.
Yes.
Second answer, and this is very interesting, is, well, you don't use abusive behaviour unless you've got your feet under the table, do you? So she's more vulnerable. And the third really interesting answer is this, well, she's hormonal.
Hmm.
What are they saying, Annie? They're saying we make them kiss us. Yeah.
Mm.
Fascinating.
Horrific, really.
It's horrific, but it's fun as well, because one things we do on the Freedom Programme, the Freedom Programmes are all over the UK. If anyone wants a programme near them, just go on my website and click on programme venues and put their county in a search box underneath, and it'll come up. And they can ring up and just go and join. They're free. Mm. They're ongoing.
Fantastic.
They're rolling.
Fantastic. I wanted to ask you, how do abusive men get started? I mean, they have to start somewhere.
When they're about 10, I think.
Start when they're about 10, you say?
I really do, yeah. I mean, the youngest people, we've got boys of 11 on the Freedom Programme now in schools in Lancashire.
Wow.
And they're already doing it. They're behaving like that. And their mothers know them because they're beating their mothers up and Christ knows what. And it's not particularly just because they've got an abusive father. It's the rest of the beliefs that society are instilling into them, and they're doing it from a very early age.
Mm.
A friend of mine was a refuge manager, and she was parking her car outside the refuge, and this tiny little boy whose mother was in the refuge said to her, that car's too good for a woman.
Gosh.
It starts early. Yeah.
That's breathtaking, isn't it?
Mm. Now, she wouldn't have picked that up unless she'd done the Freedom Programme and she saw exactly what it was about.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Little toe rag.
Little sausage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. Yes, women have fun on the Freedom Programme. We all have fun. A woman rang me a while back and she said, the domestic violence police said it should go on your programme for a good laugh. And I was actually running the Freedom Programme in those days, and she did come, and she said to me, I can't believe it, we're having a laugh. We're laughing at the dominator, and that's our power, that we laugh at him. And I make him laugh at himself when he comes on the programme as well.
Now, that is something.
Mm.
I've never come across an abusive man with a sense of humour when it comes to himself.
Oh, no, they all take themselves far too seriously. when you actually get them to laugh at the dominator, this it's huge. It's starting to change. It's really good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I've certainly found that with abused women as well, that when they start to laugh at themselves, that's when they can dissociate from all the misery and start to own who they really are.
Yeah. I mean, they're lovely. I mean, we're on the Freedom Programme too. We have fun. We make friends. We have a good laugh. Everybody starts to change. They look different.
Yeah.
Within a few weeks, everyone looks different. You know, with all the hair's done better and everything like that. Get our kids back. Social services. Wonderful.
Mm.
A friend of mine runs a Freedom Programme in Wrexham, and she's a social worker. And I rang her a while back. Somebody had been doing some research and asked me how many women do the Freedom Programme who get their children back from social services. And I asked her, I said, is it as much as 50%, Sian? And she said, no, it's much more like 75%.
Wow.
So we get our children out of care, which means that, you know, everyone's lives are improved.
Yeah. Yeah, because that really is a tragedy when the kids end up in care as well.
It's a tragedy when they're dead as well. And the problem with most of this stuff is most professionals haven't a clue what they're doing. Can I just tell you a story? That I received a phone call from a social worker somewhere in the UK. And she said to me, I've got a man for your program. And I said, fine, I accept anybody. I'll have Jack the Ripper as long as he behaves himself. And she said, oh, no, she said, it's not like that. This man was so abused by his first wife that he ended up serving a sentence for manslaughter.
What?
Obviously, yes, so you are hearing this, I know. Obviously, he didn't serve very long because it was only land. Then he came out of prison and met a new partner. And because she was so nice, we risk-assessed the baby and the baby came along and all seemed to be fine. Except one day he just lost it, quote, and attacked her. And now he's gutted, and he wants some help. And I went, okay, send him along. But he must read a book called Living with the Dominator before he comes. And she said, oh, he's not a dominator. He's a lovely man.
Good God. So good just God. The trail of death and destruction was just an accident?
Well, I mean, he'd murdered his first wife, got away with it.
Yeah.
And now he's attacked his second. But he's a lovely man.
Well, he's a lovely man, yeah.
Mm. Was and that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Was he middle class?
A social worker? Or the man?
No, the man.
God knows. He obviously had big blue eyes, didn't he?
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. And this is why we need to get this Freedom Program and the book out to as many social workers as possible so that they can stop letting children die because they don't know any better.
Mm. Yes, the degree of ignorance is mind-boggling.
Well, the other thing that a lot of social workers are trained to believe is this, and I think they're particularly trained to believe this in America, because I've been training some American social workers myself, and they've said to me that part of their training is that there's a certain kind of woman that gets involved with abusive men.
Uh-huh.
It's called battered wife syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard such bollocks in all your life? Or bollocks on
so, some of us are born with battered wife syndrome written all over our foreheads. I see.
We are, yeah. We go and look for abusive men here.
Well, we certainly do, don't we? We spend our nights cruising bars for them, yeah. No, no, you're a nice man. Go away. I don't want you.
The problem is, to some extent, it is a little bit true, but it's not just certain kinds of women. It's all of us. You know, high court judges and politicians, and all of us women. None of us understand this. None of us understand it.
Yes. Oh, well, I think we human beings are terribly impressive for the amount of denial that we can actually work with and live with at all times.
If I come on the Freedom Program and we do two sessions on the effects of abuse on children, and I may well be in an abusive relationship and my child may be wet in the bed, and I will take the child to the doctor and they'll get medication, and I will not make the connection between the fact that there's violence and abuse going on in the house and this child is wet in the bed, I may have miscarried dead babies. And I won't have made the connection that he assaulted me the week before.
Mm.
I just don't. My child has a role model. He's got a giant baby throwing tantrums. So my little one throws tantrums to get his own way. He gets excluded from school, or she does. I then take my child to the doctor who diagnoses him with ADHD. Mm-hmm. I never make the connection between the effects on my child and the abusing, the presence of the abuser. And one of the main problems is that I believe, because I've been told by society so often, that all children need a father.
Hello?
Hello. I'm still here.
Yes. Well, I think we all know that the root of all the ills in our society is lone parents, single parents living in council flats with their children.
And we get ourselves pregnant, Annie.
Yes, we just want to, don't we?
We go around with these turkey basters and impregnate ourselves all over the place. What a load of more bollocksology.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Bollocksology does seem to rule a little bit in our society.
Bollocksology rules. People should start writing it on walls.
Bollocksology
rules,
well.
Okay.
Yes. So we don't buy into this fact that there's a certain kind of woman who's born from a certain kind of egg who seeks out an abusive man. But what would you say about abused women? I mean, my experience is that very definite things happen to women in abusive relationships, which are not nice.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
But we all really blame ourselves, don't we? Of course, we're also conditioned to hate other women. So that means that we don't help each other. So we women blame each other for being abused. And if you think about conditioning over the centuries, for example, years ago, or thousands of years ago, we were all living in caves, and we're going out and clubbing woolly mammoths to death to eat bits of their meat and whatever. But the problem is that we get pregnant. So we're pregnant, and we've got little babies, and we do need some bloke to go and club a woolly mammoth for us, don't we, to feed us bits of meat and let us share his cave when we're giving birth or whatever. Now, the problem with that is if somebody else comes along that's younger and more attractive than me, he might shove me out into the snow, get the new one in. So I'm conditioned to hate other women. And I have been for centuries. And see it as other women's competition. So we don't support each other the way we should. Because we can't. We can't see what's happening.
No. I think that's breathtaking.
Yeah.
So there's a great deal of learnt hatred in the world, really.
Oh yes, I mean, well, it's entertainment now, isn't it? Because people watch so-called reality television where people are abusing each other for entertainment.
Yes.
I mean, look at, you know, Come Dancing, for example. You know, people don't watch it because of the nice dancing. They watch it so they can watch people being nasty to each other.
Yes.
So it's very similar to the Romans, you know, when they used to have in the Colosseum where the lions used to eat the Christians. It's similar.
And that's a really interesting analogy. I hadn't thought about that, but I had become aware that there seem to be so many reality shows on our television which are all about contempt, really.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yes.
They're about people being abusive to each other. It's no blooming wonder the dominator gets away with it, because we're all starting to believe his behaviour is normal.
Yes. And he will tell you it is, of course.
Oh, he believes it too. He doesn't think there's a problem.
Yeah, and the only problem is that we really object sometimes when we're getting knocked around emotionally or physically.
Yeah.
If we were doing our job right, we'd just say, oh, thank you for taking care of me, and, you know, it's okay, you do what you like.
I won't annoy you again. I'll try and get it right next time.
So, for women who are just starting out on this journey to self-awareness or journey to awareness of what's really going on in a relationship, who are beginning to feel that things aren't quite right, what would you say?
Read the book. Read the book. Read Living with the Dominator. That's why I wrote it.
Yeah.
I want everyone in the world to read this book. And not just women. Men are buying it. And the majority of people who buy them, single copies, buy them, are men. I sell more books to men than there is to women. Yeah. But I want it in schools and in libraries, and it just needs to be everywhere. Everyone needs this book. You can buy it off Lulu for your overseas listeners and friends. If you just go to my website, click on Lulu, you can get it printed and posted in your own country, which is a lovely thing. An awfully clever idea.
It's a brilliant idea, but I know that sort of when one's talking, these things go a little bit fast. So if we could just go through this again. If you go to your website, which is www.freedomprogram.co.uk, and that's Freedom Program, Programme, .co.uk.
Certainly is.
It's spelled the English
way. If you put that into a search engine in the American spelling, you'll come up with the Dominator and address. And it's been plagiarised for Fathers for Justice.
Oh, that's naughty, isn't it?
They're very naughty boys. Yes, bless them.
They are indeed very unpleasant too. But
yes.
So they go to your website and
yes.
then you can order the book and you can actually have it printed on demand at from this publishing house called Lulu.
Yeah, it is wonderful.
And you can pay for it with PayPal, can you?
Yes. Yeah.
And then it will be sent out to you wherever you are in the world, isn't
wherever
it?
Wherever you are. Yeah.
Excellent. And the price of that?
I'm going onto my website now because I can't remember the book. Order online. DVD. Lulu. Book payment. Where's the link? Living with the Dominator. Mm-hmm.
I got my copy of that.
Oh, there it is. Right, if you go on the book page and then scroll right down to the bottom of the page, it's You Do and Lulu.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it online, but you can also get a printed version through Lulu.
Mm-hmm. So it could be...
How much is it? I'm just trying to find out how much it is. Well, there are. As a download, Lulu's selling it for £5.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Can't say fairer than that.
Living, yes. Here we are. It's a paperback, £11. I don't know where that comes from. And presumably, you click on that. I'm trying to work out where to do it. Add to basket. There we are. Also available as a paperback, £11. And yeah, just click on that. And what happens now? There it is. Add to basket. And then they'll send it to you.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. So, brilliant. So where do women go? Where do women go psychologically when they've been through abuse? I see them usually when they're at rock bottom. They don't know if they can leave. They don't know how to rebuild themselves. What happens? How do you work it?
I believe women need is information.
Mm-hmm.
Once they've got information, then they can make informed decisions. And once you start realising it's not you, it's happening to all sorts of women. And what is happening? What you need is information about what is actually happening. And then that's really all you need. And there's an awful lot of bollocksology out there as well, because women are diagnosed with things. And women contact me, and I've been told I've got this syndrome and that syndrome. It's all bollocksology. They only need information. Oh, and some mates as well. Other women to have a good laugh with. We're really strong, you know. We're wonderful. Women are wonderful. We're so strong. And we're such survivors.
Yeah. One of the things I say is that we'd have to be incredibly strong to put up with an abuser for as long as we do. That's really hard work.
It's really hard work, and we're still standing at the end of this, and I am
just
so
about,
impressed. Just about,
Exactly.
We're punch drunk, but we're still on our feet,
And we're still trying. We've still got that energy just about to keep trying and keep giving out to other people, and that's amazing, isn't it?
I think it's wonderful.
Wanting to love.
And the Freedom Program is run with love. All the women who run the Freedom Program love the women who come on it. We don't see each other as competition. We welcome them. Nobody is allowed to say, in my training events or on the program, oh, I've never experienced this. No one's allowed to say that, you know, whether they consider it to be true or not. Because they always follow it with the next phrase, which is this, I'm too strong. Which implies that women who have experienced it are weak. So we don't allow anyone to say that.
Yeah, that is outrageous.
Now,
Pat, it is. You sound like a wonderful, feisty woman who no abusive man would dare to go within 1,000 miles of, even wearing a cricket box. But you say that you have actually been through abusive relationships too. Can you?
I've been hit by three of them. Mm.
So you weren't always as you are now, I'm imagining.
No, the Freedom I created the Freedom Program, and then the Freedom Program created me. And you'll find that all the women in across the UK who've done the program are completely different. They're powerful, strong, aware, and funny. And I wasn't like that before I did the program. When I was working with the probation service, I was actually being bullied by my colleagues who were supposed to be running men's programs for abusive men. Yeah, they walked all over me, and I couldn't deal with them. I didn't know what to do. And then when I wrote the program, it started to change me. And one of my abusers, I didn't realise was an abuser, as I say, until I actually stood there in front of a group of women with the Freedom Program manual in my hand. And I thought, oh my God, it was him. And up until that point, I'd seen him as the love of my life that I'd failed to keep.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Aren't we good at denial?
No, nobody had given me any other information. I was in the dark.
Yes.
We're in the dark. We're like mushrooms are kept in the dark and fed shit.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's like these religious sects who manage to live parallel lives in the 21st century. So they can see everything that's going on in the world outside, and they've got the same access, quite a lot of them, to the television and whatever that the rest of us have. And yet, in their parallel universe, it doesn't touch them.
It's partly because the abuser is so good at controlling my brain.
Yes.
And partly because I'm being controlled by society anyway before I've even met him. And it's a double whammy. And we have loads. If you come to the conference in Worthing, you'll hear one of our wonderful speakers who tells the audience that when she went on the Freedom Program, she had no idea why she was there.
Yes.
Because she couldn't see that she was in an abusive situation at all until she went on the program.
I can relate to that.
So can I. God, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I remember walking into a women's group on my first night and saying, I don't think I should be here because I'm middle class and I'm a doctor's wife and one thing and another. And the counselor running it just gave me that weary smile because she'd heard it 1,000 times before.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, on my last professional training, I make a living by training people to run the Freedom Program, obviously, facilitator training. And I do all my training with the Certain Curtain Theatre Company. All the training events include a play. But on one of my training events in the summer, three of the women on the training event who were there as professionals left their abusive partners in the course of the 3 days training. They didn't go home. Yes or no. And one of them was classic. She said, oh my God, she said, I should know better. I am a barrister. And all the other women in the group went, oh, do buck up. Why should you know any different because you're a barrister? But she went, oh, I can't believe I said that.
Lovely. So can you say quite cheerfully that as well as rehabilitating some abusive men, you have also broken up a lot of relationships that deserve to be broken up?
Yeah, and I am insured. I am insured, yeah.
Yes. Well, it's nice sometimes to be a marriage breaker when it's the wrong kind of marriage.
Saving women's lives and children.
Yes. Because
it's not
otherwise,
just me, it's all those lovely people out there who are running the Freedom Program, and my partner, Certain Curtain Theatre Company, because we're campaigning alongside each other. And one of them is a man. He's called John. And John stands on a platform, and again, you'll see him in Worthing, stands on platforms banging on about domestic abuse, and John is a feminist.
Great.
And this is what it's lovely, you know, we're all working together. I'm so proud of them, so proud to be working with them. They're brilliant.
And you must be so proud to have brought this into being.
I am. I hugely am. Because before I wrote the Freedom Program, I had never done anything of note. I was a complete non-entity. I've never made a difference to anyone. I was a probation officer. Now, For those of you who are probation officers and listening, frankly, we don't really do much good, do we? You know, we see a lot of people and we tick boxes and we say, are you still taking your drugs? Oh, yes, I'm not. No, I've not had any drugs for a week. Oh, well, that's all right. Now I'll tick that box. What a waste of time. We don't change anybody. And we have these long, convoluted programs that don't change anybody either. But since I became doing the Freedom Program, I know we're changing lives and it's beautiful. Incidentally, Annie, there's an organization called Respect, which is a so-called umbrella organization, and they're self-styled accreditors for men's programs. They call them perpetrator programs, and they hate me, and they hate the Freedom Program, partly because they are in business of charging thousands and thousands of pounds for their programs and their training, and I give my weekends free. So that just needs to be said as well.
Yes. Well, yes. I'm just thinking about, obviously you weren't a non-entity before you wrote the book, or you just hadn't found your stride, but I'm just feeling there's such a charge of energy and anger in that book. It's amazing.
Yes. I am angry all the time. I'm furious, and so are Claire and John and all the people who work with them, and the way women and children are treated by society. And it's not a conspiracy theory. We're all part of it. We've created a society which has created us, and we need to step to one side and you just go, whoa, stop this. Stop this misery. Stop these children being brought up in a horrible, abusive household, and then learning the behaviour of the dominator themselves. It has to stop.
We have to break the mould, because otherwise it just carries on like it always has done, doesn't it?
If we don't change we women are the only ones that can change it. And we are the only ones that can save our children as well. Because what's the alternative? If we don't sort the dominator out, either get rid of him or get him to change, and I don't mean change him personally, we can't do that, then our children, well, they could go into foster care, they could be abused in care, then we stay with him, and our children end up dead or, you know, damaged. We're the only ones that can help our children and help ourselves. Nobody else can do it. It's only us.
Absolutely. And one of my gripes, my experience before I certainly found out about the Freedom Program, was that there's this thing that our society will prosecute abusers if we're lucky, but then the women are just kind of left, you know.
We're just left, and we're not supported, and nobody takes it seriously. And I mean, obviously, that nonsense about the social worker who said to me, "He's a lovely man. He murdered his first wife." And she made him do it, obviously. So anyway, we just need to get information out there, Annie, more and more of it.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely brilliant, Pat. It's been absolutely eye-opening talking to you. I shall be using bollocksology constantly.
If you can get to the conference, it's on the 28th. It's next Tuesday.
Yes.
I've forwarded an invitation to you from Worthing Women's Aid. Just bang in an application form to them. It's only £10. And come up and introduce yourself to me.
I would love to do that. In order to do that, I've got to shift a few appointments, so I have to be able to do that. But if I can possibly be there, I will, because it will be a delight to meet you in person.
Oh, and it'll be an inspiring day, too. It will be.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And a load of laugh, knowing you.
Oh, it will be. We'll have a laugh. Because don't forget, when you've seen me talking, you've heard me talking about the dominator in this interview.
Yeah.
I'll be assisted by John when we do it on the stage. So we'll be hamming it up now, like with no tomorrow. It'll be lovely.
Will you be recording it?
No. I don't think so.
Well,
I haven't got a facility.
I have.
Right, well, if you can, please do record me and Johnny doing the talks. That would be lovely. And I know Rachel will, I know my three speakers will be happy to be recorded. We've also got an opera singer. singing the thing from Madame Butterfly, which is, you know, heartbreaking. Can't record the play, obviously, but everything else I'm sure will be fine. It'd be nice to have it recorded. That'd be lovely.
Well, I've got some technology. I don't know how many hours I can do, and this is getting a bit practical for this, but I've just got to clear my day so I can get down to Worthing, which will be a good old hike. But I would love to be there, and it's been fantastic speaking to you.
It's been lovely talking to you too, Annie.
Thank you. I'm going to send this an email out to my list with the subject line, if you open one thing of mine this year, it really needs to be this one. Because I do think that listening to this interview is that important. Just helping women move on from this place of misery and humiliation and isolation to awareness. So that's really
and sisterhood.
Yes.
Helping each other. Love to everybody, Annie. Hugs to you, and I hope I'll be able to give
and
you a hug in person next Tuesday.
I will do everything I can to be there. Thanks, Pat.
Lovely. Bye.
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 Going now.